One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, welcome back to Midwest Married. We're so happy that you're watching and here with us today. I'm Amy.
I'm Matt.
And today we are going to dive into some write-ins. It's kind of going to be a smorgasbord of topics, just taking some of the emails that we've gotten and giving our feedback.
Yeah, and this will be, it is a smorgasbord, kind of like you said.
It's a good word.
But we get a lot of write-ins. And in the future, we'll have them more categorized, but please write in.
Yes, we love to hear from you.
Midwest Married Podcast. You can find that link on Instagram. So would love to incorporate one of your questions or stories, feedback.
Absolutely.
Into one of the episodes.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, thanks for being here. Last episode, we talked about how overwhelmed we were. Mostly around all the things that we had going on in life and going to the Boundary Waters, which...
We lived.
We are here.
Amy did donate and contribute to a new generation of mosquitoes by donating a lot of her blood on one of the portages.
So, guys, this was my very first portage. Okay, first of all, the Boundary Waters, what is it? It's like basically a protected chain of lakes and forest area in northern Minnesota. Does it extend into the Dakota, North Dakota? No, just Minnesota?
Just Minnesota.
I don't know. Near Canada, very north, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it is so cool because there is no cell service. There are no motorized boats allowed on the lake. So you can only either kayak or canoe. You don't see very many people because they control how many people go in and out of the Boundary Waters. You have to have like a permit to actually go there. We traveled with two of our good couple friends that we travel a lot with. One of them happened to be a Boundary Waters guide when he was like in his early 20s, which was really cool because I felt like I was in really good hands because I'm a newbie at this.
Yeah.
So this was my very first portage. It was a doozy of a portage. It was a mile long, which when it comes to packing up all of your gear and going for a mile long hike, I mean, that's a lot. You carried the canoe. I had a 100-pound pack on my back. The rest of the group kind of, they went first. And by happenstance, I was just like last of the line, mm-hmm. which was fine. And it was a hot day. It was really, really warm. And I did not really think that long sleeves would be a necessity or pants. So I was wearing a tank top and shorts, and I had my 100-pound pack, and I had my paddle to act as my like walking stick, and I went off and I was feeling really good and I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. This is like, we're doing it. We're doing the Boundary Waters. This is great.
And to note, before she took off on the portage, I said, you're brave.
I didn't know what that meant.
I would put clothes on.
You didn't say that. You just said, you're brave wearing that. And I was like, okay, I don't know.
You must not have heard me.
You also said that you had a long sleeve for me, but then proceeded to not give that to me. So I was like, oh, it must not be that big of a deal.
Yeah, you didn't ask for it.
I didn't know. Now I know. Now you all know because I'm sharing all of this new wisdom about portages with you. All right. So I'm hiking and I am going and I am slowly getting a little bit further behind because again, 100-pound pack on my back, right? And I get probably about halfway through or enough like into the woods where the mosquitoes came out. and they were feasting on me. I could not swat them away like fast enough. And it was just like, it became so severe that like the mosquitoes, I would no sooner swat them away that there'd be 10 more. So it just became like futile and pointless. And I was basically alone on this trail in the woods. I knew where I was going. I knew I'd catch up with my friends eventually. They all had their gear. I was like, well, I just got to keep going. I just have to keep going, because if I stop, there's no way I'm going to be able to get this pack back up onto my back and to keep on going. So I made it almost all the way there. And then the leader of the group, the friend who used to be the Boundary Waters guide, had set down his pack, got everybody situated, and like had come back to kind of meet me. And he came with a can of bug spray. And oh my gosh, it was like the heavens opened up. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. So I'm carrying this pack and I'm trudging along, and he goes, "Oh, hey, Amy, do you need me to take your pack?" And I was like, no. At this point, it's a badge of honor. I am going to walk the entire damn mile myself with this pack. I did see the bug spray, and I was like, please just douse me in bug spray. And he did. And that saved my life. But the moment I emerged from the trail to the beautiful scenic lake where my friends all were hanging out and waiting for me, the look on your guys's faces when I came out, because I had already started to like wilt from all of these mosquito bites.
I counted 38 bug bites on the back of your left arm.
Oh my God. It was the worst thing ever.
So that was,
yeah.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. I was really happy that I had brought a little steroid cream with me that day.
Other than that, super enjoyable. Was good to get away. And
it was beautiful.
Relax.
It was
have
relaxing.
Some downtime.
Yeah.
Kid free.
Just us, just adults doing something new and challenging. We went and hiked a waterfall, which was really fun. Anyway, too much. Let's get on with the podcast episode, right? So, but it was a lot of fun. I highly recommend it if anybody is thinking that they need a new adventure in their life or to try something new. Just please, when you portage, wear long sleeves, no matter what. And douse yourself in bug spray.
That's a good pro tip.
That's my pro tip. All right. So, that was my write-in for the episode. Now, let's get to some actual write-ins.
Let's do it.
It's a sad one, I think. Okay. I think I just lost my best friend. Okay. And I'm going to change the names in this to keep it kind of more anonymous. Okay?
I like that.
All right. Hi. My best friend, Kevin, male, 20, texted me, 20, I'm non-binary, out of the blue saying he wanted to go no contact. This was very out of character for him. We have been friends for 3 years. We met in college. He's seen me through an almost marriage. When we first met, I was in a toxic relationship with my ex-fiance. He sat with me when I went to the psych ward after my ex and I broke up. And another time, he stayed the night in my dorm after I was sexually assaulted the day before. So basically, they've been through some stuff, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He helped me move in and out of different dorms during the school year. When I got my apartment with my current boyfriend, Brad, he was one of the first people to come over. For 3 years, he's told me he cares about me and will always be there for me on my best and worst days. And for 3 years, that's been true. Thursday night, we hung out with Kevin, a friend from college, George, and my boyfriend, Brad. It was a normal night for the most part. George was late, of course. No shade, just a funny thing we all joke about. So me and my boyfriend Brad and my friend Kevin went to his backyard and chatted. He seemed super stressed about his job and a little paranoid, but nothing too off. We got pizza and sat at a restaurant. He was filling George in about the work stressors he had told me and Brad about earlier. Once George knew about everything going on with Kevin's job, the topic switched to normal life stuff, how things were going with Kevin and his new girlfriend, asking George about the job search and a date he'd had a while back. We talked about them going back to college and how my job was going. Everything seemed fun and great, but I noticed he kept looking around anxiously and surveying the room. The check came and we paid. Brad and I had to leave early because Kevin and George live about an hour away from me and my boyfriend. I texted the group chat and said it was a good time. It was good to see them. I wish I could have stayed longer. You know, the typical stuff. Kevin replied saying it was a good night and that we could plan to hang out longer soon. Not atypical since this is summer. The next day at work, I see a text from Kevin saying he won't be active on his phone or social media. I say, okay, and I hope all is well. Then he replied soon after saying that it's better if we don't speak. I asked him what he meant, and he said, just trust me. I was unsure if he just needed some space or if that was permanent. So I asked, are we friends? And he said, no, sorry, I can't explain. Trust me. Then he sent a DM on Instagram and said, I'm sorry it had to end like this, but it's better for everyone. I asked for an explanation, but he had blocked me. I reached out to Kevin's girlfriend and our friend George. They both had not heard about this from Kevin and had no idea why this happened. George told me that after I left, Kevin was talking very weird and paranoid. George was concerned and told me he'd reach out to Kevin today. I cried for a while and called my therapist to try to process this. This morning, I wake up to a text from Kevin's mom asking me about his weed usage. I called her. She then told me that Kevin was extremely paranoid last night and that she almost brought him to a hospital. I told her what I knew and that I talked to Kevin about his weed usage 3 weeks prior. She told me that my friendship with Kevin is most likely not done and that he just freaked out. She said that she would have him reach out when he's better. I cried on the phone to her saying I was worried and I just wanted him to be happy and okay no matter what. For now, I'm just giving him space and hope I hear something good from him or our friends. I don't want to hold on to false hope in case he meant it, but I'm not sure what to do. I've been crying off and on. I'm hoping regardless he's okay and happy. I'm trying also to make peace with that he might not come back in my life. Do you have any advice or suggestions? Here's my first question. Do you think that friend is lost forever?
Probably not, just being that they have such a long history. I would say there's something more to this story that we don't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more info, I think, to fully state, okay, this relationship is done.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it seemed like nothing happened to really instigate this, like, hey, I gotta go.
Seems like Kevin is going through some shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's some mental health issues there, if there's been mental health in the past, there's weed usage, is there other drug usage involved that mm-hmm. could be contributing? But definitely there needs to be maybe an intervention there amongst that friend group to make sure that Kevin is okay.
I think there's something else going on. And it sounds like paranoia, especially if his mom reached out to OP and was like, hey, I've noticed this paranoia. I almost brought him to the hospital. I mean, that's huge. I mean, that probably is induced then by something. And if OP had talked with Kevin 3 weeks earlier about his weed usage, I feel like it has to get pretty significant or at least like impact their life significantly before a friend is going to be like, oh, hey, dude, we need to talk about this. This might be a problem for you. Don't you think?
Yeah. It's odd behavior.
Yeah.
Right? Like to be paranoid, that paranoid. I mean, I've been high before, really high. And
in your youth.
Let's just edit that out, maybe. I'm not sure.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Do I understand the paranoia? Maybe.
Does it sometimes happen? Okay, because you dabbled quite a bit in your youth. I really didn't. So I don't have a lot of firsthand personal experience or knowledge on this topic. So can that happen if it's...
Sure.
Okay.
I guess I would start with just putting it out there that, hey, I'm here for you, Kevin. OP can write that, send a message, have your other friends go and check on him, make mm-hmm. sure things are
Make sure he's safe.
In line. Go check out his house. Like, there are some steps that should probably happen, especially, like you said, the mom called and was going to bring him to the hospital.
Right.
So there's definitely behavior transpiring that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
And that's not great.
And it kind of makes me worry, like, is there depression going on? So chronic usage of THC, like if you're using it often,
mm-hmm.
if you talk to psychiatrists, they'll tell you that it actually can worsen anxiety and depression. Like, it's kind of that conundrum, right? Like, you're taking it to help your anxiety and depression, and in the moment it does, but then you can have a little bit of withdrawal from it, and it can actually worsen the anxiety and depression overall. It can also interfere with, like, medications, especially with, like, how you take it, whether it's edibles versus smoking it, due to how it's processed through the liver or not processed through the liver. So I think it's kind of a complicated topic. And if this is something that is persisting and having paranoia, I think taking him to the hospital is probably not a bad idea. And then for me, like, the questions that come up in my brain is, okay, well, where is he sourcing this from? Is it just marijuana? Is it something else? Paranoia can happen a lot with other drugs.
Sure.
Like methamphetamines. Like, that's really, really common, where people can really get paranoid from those, especially if you're using it quite often. So I don't know, and I'm not saying that your friend is using other drugs.
Right.
But that is something I know can happen.
Yeah.
So your friend has been there through thick and thin for you. I would say you got to be there through thick and thin for him, and kind of don't give up on that friendship just yet without any answers, right? Like, if it were me, I would call our mutual friends and be like, can you please just check on him? Can you please, like, get the story? Like, I don't think I did anything wrong. This is mm-hmm. really out of the blue. I know my friend of 3 years, you know, we're really close, and I don't think that anything happened to warrant this. So, yeah, that's my advice. I think don't give up on him. I think he's going to come back to you. I think there's something more going on, especially if there's some substance use.
I agree with all that.
Okay.
Flip side. It's okay to let people move on, and especially if they're going to be a detriment to your own mental health and your own well-being.
Right.
It's okay to cut people out and move on. You can wish that person well.
Yeah.
If this is a continual pattern,
right,
and it's causing you more harm than it is good.
It's a good point.
It's okay to walk away and say, we've had our time. We've had our run. It was great. We're mm-hmm. at a different place in our life right now. Down the line, maybe things will change. But as of right now, okay, I'm going to take a step back because, again, we don't have enough information. You're using drugs, you're using THC to the point where we're all really worried about you, and it is affecting our lives. And mm-hmm. I don't want to be a part of that. So I'm going to take a step back.
Mm-hmm. It's not your job to save him, right?
Correct.
Yeah. If he's open to it, be there for him, right?
Yeah.
But also if he shut you out and he says, nope, you're not welcome. Yeah, it's okay to take a step back and take a break too. I'm really glad that they are in therapy.
OP.
Yes. Yep. So that OP can really talk this out with somebody who maybe has more experience in this kind of area. But yeah, tough. Okay. That was one of our really intense listener write-ins. So I really hope if there's any resolution or any updates, we'd love to hear. So please let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
All right, we're going to lighten the mood up now.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go.
We promised you a smorgasbord. This is how it's going to go. This one is about potty training. You remember those days?
Yeah. All glad right. we never have to go back. Unless there's noops. But there won't
you never
be
know.
Noops.
All right. You never know. Actually, we know. Goalie in place. We're good. Okay. How in the heck do you potty train? My son is a few months short of 3 years. I waited until he showed interest and let him pick out underwear. He pees in the toilet fine, but refuses to poop on the toilet. He will tell me when he has to poop and then wants a pull-up to do it in. If I don't let him have a pull-up, he just holds it until he becomes constipated, which in turn then causes him to pee in his pants multiple times. I'm just lost and out of ideas. We also really incentivize pooping on the toilet. He loves cake pops. I made a batch and froze them, and we celebrated, and he got a cake pop for this one time that he did poop on the toilet, but he won't anymore. Please help.
All right. I'm not a medical expert like Amy over here, but I guess here's what I would do.
Uh-huh.
I would make the reward very visible. I would make a cake pop stand for the bathroom where he can...
That does not seem hygienic.
I'm processing
thinking
this
on the fly.
As we go, thinking okay. on the fly. Or outside
how about
the bathroom.
A poster?
Where he can see the cake pops, they're up there, mm-hmm. he wants one, and you just say, you can't have a cake pop until you go potty, poop on the potty. And maybe that would encourage him having like the visual, like, oh, I want a cake pop, how do I get it? And then you just keep
them.
Reinforcing.
Okay.
They have said that they are incentivizing heavily, so I'm curious as to what they're doing to incentivize and... Are they just bringing it up? I'd be like, hey, I got a cake pop for you. Go poop on the potty.
I feel like we were really lucky in this regard where our kids did fairly well with potty training. Eloise was a little bit tougher. Emmett actually picked it up a little bit faster. I think because he was watching everybody and was trying to keep up with everybody, right? Like
yeah.
I remember there being days where he wanted to wear the undies and I was like, oh no, can you please just wear the pull-up because we're going somewhere and I don't want to have to deal with accidents.
Yeah.
Reverse psychology. Apparently that worked on him.
We're in a household with one bathroom.
Yes.
So there's, you go to the bathroom and your kids want to be in there and yeah, they were curious.
We encouraged
during their
that.
Youth as to what was mm-hmm. going on. Yep, daddy's going potty, mommy's going potty.
We talked about it all the time. We use the proper language. We invited them into the bathroom. We normalized it. I think one of the biggest things that I would recommend is at all costs, avoid any punishments. Avoid the negative enforcement.
Sure.
Because that's where kids will actually become more sneaky and they will go hide behind a couch and they will poop or they will just do it where you don't see it or they'll have more holding patterns of going to the bathroom.
Yep.
So make it super positive. I remember when the kids were going through this stage, we said, oh, accidents happen. That became like the motto and the mantra
yeah.
in our house that we said over and over and over again. Oh, accidents happen. And then the kids would say, like, if they had an accident, they would come and tell us and they would say, Mom, I had an accident. Oh, accidents happen. And so we always mm-hmm. just dealt with it right away. One thing that I will tell this mom is I know that you're feeling like your kid is just never going to do this. And you're going to be like dealing with this potty training all of forever and ever.
They'll get older.
They will get older. One day he might decide that today is the day that he's going to start doing it. Everybody who goes to kindergarten, by the time they go to kindergarten, everybody is potty trained.
They got it.
It's going to happen. But some other tips. I had a friend who actually had this a very similar situation with her kid. And one thing that they tried was actually cutting a hole in the back of the pull-up. And so that pull-up right at this point in time is their kind of comfort and security. And so you put the pull-up on, it has the hole in the back, you set them on the potty, and they may poop in the potty. And then you can kind of slowly get that. And then you can show them the poop in the potty and they can and celebrate and they can get like all excited.
I mean, can you imagine though, a three-year-old, you cut a hole in their diaper.
Uh-huh.
And it's uncomfortable. And you have a three-year-old running around with poop running down their legs and around the house.
Well, no, you put it on right before you have them sit on the potty. Ah. Like it sounds like in this time, in this Got kid, it. He'll like ask for a pull-up. He'll want a pull-up in order mm-hmm. to do it. He's not wearing the pull-ups all the time. Like there are kids, like, especially if they're three, by that time they're like, hey, I want a pull-up because I know I have to go poop.
Got it.
Because that's their security and their comfort. Another hint that I have, this is all coming back. Another hint that I have is avoid constipation at all costs because you do not want it to hurt to go number two. So lots of prunes, lots of fiber in their diet, lots of water to make sure that you're avoiding that constipation and avoiding that holding pattern because that's when, and they've experienced it somewhat, they say, you know, when he does get into a holding pattern, then he has accidents where he pees his pants. And that's really common and really normal, where just because of the location of the bladder and the colon, if one's backed up, you're going to have some incontinence. So
sure.
If that's happening with your kid and they're having new incontinence, constipation is one thing to think about.
Right.
Yeah. So excited about this topic here. See, potty a little training. Bit potty training. Yes. Going back to the cake pops thing, I hate to burst your bubble, but there are some experts who advise not to use food as rewards for potty training.
But that's what he likes.
I mean,
does he like cars?
It's probably not going to be the worst thing in the world, right?
It was a boy child, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Does he like cars? Does he like dinosaurs then? Toys? Noisemakers?
Boys like more things than just cars and dinosaurs. They could like princess dresses.
Absolutely could.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know.
You're just playing up the reward system there.
Correct.
Okay. So I think modeling the behavior, inviting them into the bathroom all the time, lots of praise, zero negative repercussions of using the potty, and letting them go at their own rate and trying not to stress too much about it. I know it can be super stressful for just parents in general, like in kids in this stage of your life. I remember feeling like, oh, my, their kid was potty trained at two and my kid's not potty trained and he's three. That it's almost a keeping up with the Joneses in the milestones that your kids reach.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let it go. Relax. Our kids will cross that bridge when they come to it, when they are ready, and just let, you know, take that stress off your shoulders.
What about, what we did with the pacifier, and maybe we didn't do it. Maybe it was for Morgan, the pacifier fairy or a bunny took the pacifier.
Oh, and just saying no more pull-ups?
There's no more pull-ups. The pull-up fairy came and another baby
needed the pull-ups.
The pull-ups. So now you need to be a big boy and use the potty like a big boy does because the pull-up fairy came in. They're gone.
So I think that would be a good idea after he's gone on the potty a few times, because if you just take it away, he's going to get constipated again, right?
Oh, sure.
Holding pattern. So those are my thoughts.
There you go. Good luck.
Good luck with the potty training. It's a frustrating, fun time of life. It's kind of funny. We had an infant little potty in our car, like everywhere we went, to just in case, because you never know when they're going to need to go.
Yeah, we did bring the toy potty. It wasn't a toy though. They could actually go potty.
Yeah, no, it was like a potty training. It looked like a potty.
Yeah.
But it was a plastic little toddler potty with a little bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We busted that out a few times in different places.
Yep.
I'm glad we don't have to go back. Whew. We did it.
We did it. Good luck to you. You'll do great. He'll do great. He will be potty trained. All right. Ready for our next write-in? Nope. Ready for our next write-in?
I am now.
Okay. we kind of addressed some of this on an earlier episode, but because it came up and because it was a write-in, I think we're going to make us think back on those years again.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how did you guys work on your toxic relationship and make it healthy? My boyfriend and I have been together a little over 2 years. We love each other very much. We both have had so many happy and fun moments, but we had a lot of problems and broke up over a year ago and got back together. It seems like we still both have a lot of resentment or fear from our issues from our breakup that are holding us back from truly flourishing as a relationship and being genuinely happy. I wonder if we just need time and space apart. Because to be honest, during our breakup, we were never really apart except for like 1 month of no contact. But we still went to the same gym and saw each other there all the time. However, I'm afraid of being without him. We already live an hour away from each other. However, we had a routine that he came and stayed with me in my home every other week. We're both pretty young. I'm 26 and he is 24. However, he is very stressed and struggling financially, or at least he thinks he is. I want to be by his side to help him, but he seems to push me away and go cold when he gets in his head. I really just want to make it work so we can develop our future and be happy like we planned. Please, any advice would be helpful. I feel like we could have written this when we were in our mid-20s.
So,
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I did address this, and if you listen to the last episode, I did bring this topic up, not to this extent, so we'll dive back into it. This is the story in its fullest.
Yes.
But yes, we could have wrote this in our 20s. And I think the long and short of it is ultimately worked on ourselves. We couldn't work on our relationship together.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to work on me. You needed to work on you. Mm-hmm. We needed growth as individuals before we were ever able to really kill the toxicity that was within our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we can touch on some of those other points too, but that was the biggest thing. We could have been better to each other all around, but...
So probably first identifying, because they're asking for like, okay, but how do you do it?
Right.
So like identifying, well, you had issues before that led to you being separated and broken up. When there were so many times when we were broken up or on a break and it just didn't really stick. Never
great.
Really stuck. That's no. Okay. But I mean, here we are today. So we feel you and we know exactly what you're talking about when you're saying that, but then it didn't really give us that chance to have that perspective of, okay, well, what truly is the issue? A lot of the issue for me was that I, had a lot of insecurities and I kind of took them out on you, and I really didn't recognize and realize my full worth and value as being an entirely separate individual and separate person from you. And I think that was really, really important for me to do, because once you realize how you are an awesome person and that you are a valuable person in and of itself, then that just elevates your expectations for what you know you deserve in any relationship, not just your romantic relationship, but relationship with friends, with family. I think that you hold others to higher standards, and then it's easier for you to say, hey, this is what I deserve. This is my boundary. You can't treat me in such a way. And if you treat me in such a way, well, then whatever the consequence, then this relationship is not going to continue, sort of a thing. And then also me working on my insecurities. And for me, working on my insecurities meant going to PA school. That's where I found out that I could move across the country by myself. I could make new friends. I could study and I could like work really hard at something, and I could succeed. And I think through taking those steps, then coming to that realization, then I felt so much more secure in things that used to bother me that you did. That I think because I knew I was valuable mm-hmm. as a person, right? Somehow my world lens changed a little bit.
Right.
And so I knew that you could just be who you were and it was okay because I was going to survive whether, you know, I wanted our relationship to flourish, but I wanted to like choose our relationship and choose staying together versus like, oh, I can't live without you. Mm-hmm. So in retrospect, like that, oh, I can't live without you, that romantic, like that romantic notion that you just, you know, you would die if you weren't together with that other person. I think that's really unhealthy. I think that that's a toxic statement in and of itself. I think it's much more of a gift in a relationship to say, Matt, yep, I would be just fine without you. But you know what? I don't want to be fine without you. I would rather be in this world and in this life with you. And I choose to be with you in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Very long-winded answer.
Yeah.
You've heard it all before, though, so.
And that was it. That solved everything that was wrong and toxic about our relationship. No, I'm kidding.
How about you? Okay. Well, how about your end of things?
I think the way that I looked at a serious relationship and the boundaries that were being set when in our youth, our younger years, we had different goals and different values of where we wanted to be. And ultimately, taking that time apart made me get more serious about your feelings, your thoughts about the relationship and how a relationship, those boundaries that you set should be and matter to both parties. So there was adjustments on my side, going out and partying and staying out till 3-4 in the morning with a completely separate group of people without you. That didn't make a lot of sense anymore at that mm-hmm. point. So there were adjustments that I made that our values were more aligned mm-hmm. at that point in time.
Do you have any advice so this is from the female perspective for her boyfriend. Do you have any advice for how he can approach the relationship differently?
Yeah, I think one thing that was brought up was he doesn't feel financially mm-hmm. Was it financially worthy or financially set?
Yeah. However, he is very stressed and struggling financially, or at least he thinks he is.
So there's a different idea of what that looks like. So to OP, that might be, he's doing great. We can survive. We can get married. We could do this. It would be great. Where in my position, I looked at it as, I don't have a great car. I don't make enough money. I, you know, work two jobs right now. I'm serving. I'm going to college. And maybe even when I got my 9-to-5, I was still serving after my 9-to-5. And I still didn't make enough money in my brain. But at the end of the day, I think you'll come to realize that you'll always be able to make money and more money down the line. You're never ready, right? You think you're not ready for it. Kind of like, oh, are we ready for kids? Mm. Will you ever be ready to have kids? Probably not. You're never going to feel 100% like I am ready. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the same with making money. Oh, I'm never going to have enough money. I still don't feel like I make enough money.
Mm. So do you think that that is more of a, like a male trait too of, because what I'm hearing is that you're associating then maybe the how much money you make with your value and worth as a human.
Yeah, it might be. I also think that he needs to ask himself and sit down with OP, what are our goals? Is mm-hmm. this something that I see going long term? Mm-hmm. Do you want to get married? Do you want to have mm-hmm. kids potentially? Where do you see our life going? 2 years down the line, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, where are your goals? Are they aligned? And if they're not aligned, ultimately, OP should move on. And down the line, maybe it could come full circle like it did for us, but you have to have the trifecta. I think we talked about this in one of our earlier episodes. Mm. Right person, right place, right time. Mm-hmm. All three of those things need to align.
Yeah. Stars need to align. And it could be that your goals are not exactly the same, but as long as they're headed in the right direction, right? Like they got to be similar, like similar paths. They can't be like boop, two different opposite directions.
Right. If you can work on it with that person and come to an agreement, yes, it doesn't exactly align, but we're going to work on it together.
Yeah. Another thing that I thought was really helpful for us was actually our distance. So you were in Minnesota, I was in Jacksonville, Florida. And so the way that that distance was healthy for us was that it forced us just to work on our communication. It took out the other pieces. It took out the day-to-day, the day-to-day pieces of a relationship. All we had was talking on the phone because did FaceTime exist back then? Oh gosh, we're old. I think maybe it did.
2011 through
2013.
Fall of 13.
Yeah. Feel like we used to watch movies together. We would go and we would push play.
It definitely didn't exist.
Okay. Yeah. We would push
to that degree.
Yeah. We would push play on the movies at the exact same time. We would watch the same movie together on the phone. And a lot of times just, you know, we would just say a word here or there, but we'd just watch it together.
Yeah.
We should do something. So, yeah, when all you have is communication, you get a lot better at communicating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, very true.
Yeah. I hope that's helpful. I want an update as well. Let me know if that was helpful or not. That was our journey. Everybody's different though too. So maybe your journey is going to look different. And then if you find something that's amazing and you want to share, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right.
Kick him to the curb. See what happens. Jokes. Jokes.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
All right.
Last write-in for today, for this episode.
Yes, last
write-in. Here we go.
Okay, going in a little different direction to complete
the smorgasbord.
The smorgasbord, yes. Hey, Midwest Married, I have a am I the asshole question for you. I'm a 20-year-old female, and my parents have been divorced since before I was born. When I was 10, my dad remarried to my stepmom, whose husband had passed away many years prior. She has two kids who are both older than me and my 24-year-old brother. When my dad and her married, they only dated for a year maybe. We only met her twice before they got married, so it was very abrupt to both me and my brother. During the time married, my dad only had custody of me and my brother for only the weekends. In the beginning of the marriage, my stepmom was really nice and motherly, but after 2 years, she got mean and showed her true colors. As the years went by, she got toxic, like not allowing us to ask what's for dinner or forcing us to eat what we didn't like, or when I couldn't clean my plate, she would make me sit there and eat it until I was sick.
We don't believe in the Clean Plate Club.
No.
Bad.
No, bad. Don't do it. My dad never said anything. He doesn't like conflict, so he tries to avoid confrontation as much as possible. Her family is also very toxic, and me and my brother always felt like outsiders when we were with them. They spoke Punjabi, but me and my brother don't, so they would always have conversations with each other, and we never understood it, and they never put an effort to teach us. So there's always a big divide amongst the family. There was a time where me and my brother had nowhere to go because my mom was having a mental breakdown. My dad was in India, and we asked my stepmom if we could go still to my dad's house and stay there, and she lied and said she was sick, but she was really just inviting her family over at our house while me and my brother had nowhere to go when I was 12 and my brother was 16. We ended up sleeping over at my brother's friend's house. When my dad found out, he called my stepmom and forced her to get us. When she picked us up, she said, "Why didn't you tell me you were here?" When she lied and said she was sick and couldn't take care of us. Fast forward to now, my dad and stepmom separated. My stepmom has a condo, but my dad has a house for me and my brother. Me and my brother saw text messages from the two of them where my stepmom was saying things like, quote, "The reason our marriage ended is because of your kids. Your kids didn't do anything to help me around the house. When I married you, you only had the kids twice a week, and now they're living here full time," end quote. But me and my brother moved in with my dad when we were both 16 because my mom is very abusive. She has no sympathy for that and wants us out of the house regardless. When we wanted to spend time with my dad would have to lie to my stepmom, and me and my brother would have to say we are out for the day and meet up to spend the day together. Needless to say, my stepmom is crazy and toxic and wants my dad all to herself. Now my dad sees her 5 times a week. He spends most evenings there, and I only get to spend time with him 2x a week. I don't have many friends and barely see my brother and don't have another parent in my life, so it's hard to always be alone and have my dad out. He always says the reason he's always with my stepmom is because she cooks for him and he doesn't cook, so it's easier. But I always offer to cook for just the two of us. Am I the asshole to want to spend more time with my dad? I feel like I haven't been able to have him for the past 20 years of my life because I'm always stuck in separation with someone. Dad versus mom, or now dad versus stepmom. He says that if he spends more time with her, it jeopardizes his marriage and that he feels lonely a lot, even with me. Is that normal? Like, I thought parents would have felt fulfilled enough even if they separated because of their kids. My dad also experienced abuse from my mom, so he's never had a good marital life. But am I selfish for wanting him to leave my stepmom? My brother has to take care of my mom, so majority of the time it's just me and my dad. But am I selfish for wanting him to just put his relationship with his kids first so we can be happy as a 3-member family? My therapist says that when I get older, the focus and the most important person in my life will shift and won't be my dad. So I have to let him find his way. But why are you fighting for a failing marriage with a person this toxic and unworthy of the effort? Sorry for the long message. I hope you guys could give me advice, and I love your podcast.
You're not an asshole.
We love that you wrote in. I don't think you're an asshole either. I think you're stuck in the middle in a really hard situation and that you've been through a lot.
I think for your dad, it may be hard to admit failure twice, 2 failed marriages or 2 failed relationships. Ultimately, that maybe he's prideful, doesn't want to walk away from another relationship. I'm not sure what he's getting out of that relationship. Doesn't sound overly great. And honestly, if we ever got divorced or separated and we found other individuals, I hope that I would ensure that whoever I was with loved my kids as much as you love our kids. That's
and
impossible, right?
Yeah.
But that would be unacceptable to me.
Right. Yeah.
And blaming the relationship failing on your kids, which is what the stepmom did, right? This relationship didn't work because we had your kids, or we have your
kids. Totally immature.
Totally unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
I'd remind your dad that he did divorce or separate from your mother once upon a time, and it can be done again, and help him out with his next love life.
It's tough. Sure, I think that your dad is probably getting something from that relationship that he is scared to give up. He talked about, well, you know, she cooks for me. A lot of times men in the older generation were not really taught normal life skills. And a lot of times they got married and the wife kind of took over some of those roles and duties. And so, hey, he didn't learn how to cook for himself or clean, and he's looking for someone to take care of those aspects in his life, perhaps. That's the feeling that I got. And sometimes maybe, it's a cultural thing.
Right.
Right.
There should be a conversation about what's important to him long term.
Yeah. But it's also not your job to fix that relationship. I agree with your therapist that it's his life to figure out. I would work on your relationship with your dad and just be open and honest about your feelings. Hey, I know that my relationship with stepmom is not great. I wonder if we could set aside some time that we both prioritize to make sure that we spend time together. And then you are 20. 20s are really difficult, formidable, but also exciting time of your life because you are creating who you are and who you are going to be for the rest of your life.
I was going to say, maybe OP needs to go out and expand that circle. OP mentioned they don't have a lot of friends. So go out, join some clubs, activities, hobbies. When I say clubs, you can go clubbing too if you want. That's great.
That can be an activity.
That can be an activity. Absolutely. But immerse yourself within different communities and build your circle. Build your...
your chosen family.
Build your chosen family.
Yeah. Right?
Not all families are blood. You just build your own.
Yeah. So... Jerry, case in point, if you know Father Knows Something, Jerry came into your guys' family. He dated your mom for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And he has become the chosen family that I don't think you could get rid of him if you tried.
Yeah, probably not.
No, probably not. Not that we never would. But there's so many instances out there where it doesn't have to be blood to be such a rich, enlightening relationship. It can it can be that strong friendship that you develop too.
And someday you may have a significant other. Maybe you end up having kids. Your focus will shift.
Yeah, I think that's true too, with what the therapist said too.
Yep.
Your dad is always going to be important to you and in your life. And then as you age and you grow and you go through different relationships, your view of your dad might shift as well, because you might understand or have new understandings of looking back at your childhood and being my dad did this likely because maybe he had some shortcoming in this area, or just because of your own growth and experiences. I would say take it one day at a time, work on your relationship with your dad. I think your relationship with your stepmom, I don't know. I think that's kind of, I wouldn't put too much energy into that. Don't
also
put it negative energy into it.
Super disrespectful with the whole language
differential. Yes. I agree with that. It sounded like they weren't really interested in melding the families from day one if they never did that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a really hard situation.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Keep us updated.
Sending love. That's hard.
All right. Now I wanted to bring up one item for write-ins. It goes full circle. We did receive an email for anybody that listened to our resentment episode. I did get a response back from OP.
I'm so excited. I have not seen this. I did not know of this. Matt told me this mid-episode. So should we give a summation of what the story was?
Yeah, for anybody that hasn't listened to the resentment episode.
Yes, go back and listen to the resentment episode for full details. But in general, the message came from a 30-year-old mom of four kids who's was feeling very resentful with the fact, basically, that she had so much to do in her life, so much work to do, taking care of the kids. She was a stay-at-home mom and also worked evenings as a server or a bartender. Yep.
Yeah.
And also worked evenings as a bartender and was feeling resentful.
Resentful of her husband.
Yes.
Felt like he wasn't pulling his weight within the relationship.
To the point where she was wondering if she should leave him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after our story and our takes, she wrote back and she said,
what did she say? What happened?
I have now listened to the podcast twice. I had two of my best friends who know my story listen as well, and we all loved it. The advice was great, and I'm going to try and see if it helps. but it's the last things I can try before my flame officially burns out. I need me time. I need something for me. I'm going to find it. Thank you for reading my write-in, and I thank you for taking all my words into consideration. Hearing from a guy's point of view is so opening. I love that Amy really broke down my feelings and knew exactly where I was coming from. You both are amazing, and I truly thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. Thank you for writing in, and thank you for the update. I'm so glad that it was helpful. I'm almost tearing up. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So I was going to throw this in.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to edit it and put it in the front end or the back end, but with these write-ins, these are only our takes. There are thousands of ways you can look at these write-ins and these experiences and these stories. So for anybody out there that has their own ideas or their own opinions, write in the comments on YouTube, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We're always learning. It's great.
We don't always get it right. I mean, we're just
get it right.
And other a couple in the Midwest.
Other people may find your advice better. So if you're listening and you have the time, let us know what you think.
Perfect.
That's what I got.
Awesome.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you. Please be sure to follow, subscribe on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Had our first video go viral.
That is wild.
Crazy.
And crazy.
Who would have thought?
I don't know. Not me. Definitely not me.
All right, everyone. Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.